The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
As we are moving along through the season of Lent, on this particular Sunday, Dr. Rick Ashey, our pastor for intergenerational discipleship, was teaching about, well, a very familiar passage, Psalm 23, one that everyone knows. But Pastor Rick took a look at the psalm and said, everybody is in one of three places in life right now. Sound interesting? Join us now for a look at Psalm 23 with Dr. Rick Ashey, in a sermon titled, One of Three Places. The Lord be with you.
All right, church, are you guys ready to get after it this morning? I'm really excited about this. We're going to be in Psalm 23 this morning. So if you want to turn there, I'll be using New Living Translation here this morning. I'd like to pray for us, and then I'd like us to dive in and hopefully take a little bit different look. I want to challenge a little bit of what we are accustomed to with the, what I believe is second most familiar of the text that people are exposed to. 2 weeks ago when I taught, I said we're looking at the most familiar, which is John 3:16-17, the most familiar verse in all of the Bible for most people. And I believe that this week we're looking at probably the second most familiar in the sense of the words. But I want us to go past the words this morning to something a little deeper. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we bless you and we seek you this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to not just the words on the page, but the artist behind the words and the heart that is there that we want to grab onto this morning. We look forward to what you're going to teach us. We look forward to meeting you at your table. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, as we get into this, we live in a digital world. Everything is digital. And if you break digital down, it's zeros and ones. That's just bare bones, as simple as you can. Your technology, for as amazing as it is, your phone is just a box with a bunch of zeros and ones in it. And those zeros and ones, when they're put together in certain orders, they do certain things, the text and pictures and all of these different interesting things. But the challenge for us living in a digital world is that oftentimes we get stuck at that surface level, the zeros and ones, the text idea. And that is one of the challenges for us of Psalm 23, because Psalm 23 is so familiar that most of us have heard it, especially in a funeral memorial environment, and there's nothing wrong with that because it is very powerful, although not necessarily the intent of the author. But here's the challenge for us is that we, like John 3:16, John 3:17, we need to step beyond just reading the words, and we need to step towards the heart of the artist, towards the heart of God in the text. We need to see the painting, the picture that's being laid out in front of us, and the invitation, not just the text itself. Because this one especially, for most of us probably in this room, have it memorized or are so familiar with it that we can just kind of, we can not rattle along, but we can. I mean, we can just kind of say these words. Today, I want us to go a little deeper into it. So here's two things. The first is that Psalm 23 is a picture of Lent, and it is very, very important for us to rally around this. As Ellen and I were talking this week, there were lots of different texts for this week that we were looking at, and this one was just so good for us, I think, because I believe Psalm 23 has a lot of lentiness to it, which is really exciting, and we'll get into that, and we'll unpack that a little bit more. But more importantly, here's the reality of Psalm 23. And here's the reality of you and I this morning. You and I, right now, are in one of three places in life. Every single one of us can fit into one of three buckets, three categories of life today. And not just you, But you and your family, be it you and your spouse within your marriage, can fit into one of three buckets. So you personally can fit into one of three buckets. Your marriage, if you are, can fit into one of three buckets. Your family can fit into one of three buckets. People, nation groups, can fit into one of three buckets that we're going to look at in Psalm 23 this morning. So here we go. We start in a place that is very, very familiar, but I want us to move a little deeper this morning. I want you to imagine a beautiful place. There's a hill behind our house. The flowers are blooming now. The grass is very green. The views are spectacular. Go back in your mind's eye to a place in your memory like that. And just sit down there for a minute and hear these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. In this place, you and I, we don't lack anything. We're content. We have all that we need. It's all of our needs are supplied in this place. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. In this place, it almost sounds like Eden, doesn't it? And the Lord is purposing for us a place of rest. Purposing for us a peaceful place next to a stream. I was thinking about this morning. Do this with me. Inhale, but don't just inhale in the upper lobes of your lungs, like all the way down, like belly, like. Now exhale that. Do that one more time. That's what this place feels like. Like full breaths, peace. Meadows, peaceful streams, clean water. This place is amazing because everything that you need is right here. You don't have to work for it. And better yet, the Lord's the one that's moving you around to be able to experience all of these things. It's all taken care of. It requires almost nothing of you, almost nothing of me. And then it says, he renews my strength. Why? That's an odd thing to say in this beautiful place. Why does my strength need to be renewed? What's going on there? We'll get back into that later. It says, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. This place, this mountain, if you will, this place that God has brought you to and allowed you to be in, it's a place of contentment. It's a place of stability. Younger people today, the youths, would say it's a low-key chill vibe kind of place. This is a beautiful place where it's as if the Lord just, as a shepherd, is just letting you roam around. Just have fun. Everything's taken care of. It's a place where your needs are met. And you're in this place, and everything is good. And it all makes sense. Everything is right. And then the Lord walks by and taps you on the shoulder and says, look over there. And you do. And there's a bigger mountain. You didn't realize there was another mountain over there. And it looks good. Like real good. Like, wow. A little bigger. A little greener. Interesting. And the Lord says, let's go take a walk. I want you to go there. I know this place is good, but I want you to go there. And so we keep moving forward, and we choose by the calling of God in our lives to leave Mount Contentment, if you will, and set out on a journey to an even better place. It's going to be exciting. Verse 4. Wait, what? Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Wait, what? Lord, I don't understand. You asked me, we're going to a good place, but we're going down. I don't get this. This is hard. It's not good on my knees to go down a hill. That hurts. Lord, what is going on? This place is dark. It was nice there up on Mount Contentment. The sun was shining all the time. It was easy. The water was clean and fresh. What are we doing? Why are we going down into this valley? I don't like it. It says, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. In this place, the challenge for you and I, as we move into this valley of shadow, this valley of darkness, is that the light of God is blocked by some sort of obstacle. That's why there's shadows. That's why there's darkness. Something is obstructing our view, our ability to see God in our lives, in this place. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of confusion. It's a place even of chaos and fear and frustration. This is a hard place. Why are we here? Everything was good. I don't understand. You wanted me to go to this better place. This is not better. This place is not, what are we doing here? And worse yet, we're having trouble seeing where God's at. We're having trouble communicating with him. We're struggling in this place to know what the heck is going on. Can't see God moving in and amongst us. Can't hear his voice very well. It's dark. It's scary. It's full of shadows. It's a place where difficulty, where challenge, where uncertainty, and where fear roam as predators. And yet, what we're learning here is when it says, your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me. This place is replaced, this difficulty and challenge and uncertainty and fear is replaced with a nearness of the Lord that maybe we don't recognize because it's darkness and shadow. Maybe the bumping that we're feeling and the pushing and being pushed over here this way, and why? What's going on? Maybe what we don't realize is it's actually the rod and the staff of God guiding us through the darkness. Maybe those frustrations and struggles and rerouting and detouring things that we feel are going on is actually the hand of God moving us through the valley of shadow because we don't know where we're going and we don't like it here. And this is frustrating and we don't understand why. It's interesting, this idea of rod and staff. The staff of a shepherd, that's the kind of the shepherd's crook thing, right? That's for guiding. The rod, right? That's a whipping stick. It's used for offense, to fend off the predators, to fend off things like difficulty and fear and uncertainty and panic and hopelessness in our lives. But it's also disciplinary. And sometimes we don't realize in the darkness because the darkness is obscuring our view of God. We don't realize that the whoopings that we're taking might actually be discipline, might actually be preparation. This past week, as we were looking through the virtues in the Beatitudes, one of them said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We were on Mount Contentment. Everything was good. And then God says, I want you to go this way. I got more. I got a bigger plan for you. So start moving. And you're like, okay, because that's better than here. Let's go. And then you're in the valley, and it's not making any sense. It's a place of character refinement. The valley calls out who you really are and who God really wants you to become. It's a place where you struggle and hurt and are confused. And it doesn't make sense. But Jesus told us that those who are pure in heart go through the process of refinement and challenge and difficulty in our lives and struggle, that they will see God. If you want to write this one down and go back to it, this one has been speaking to me profoundly over the last couple of weeks. Proverbs 24:16. Don't turn there, but just Proverbs 24:16. It says, "The godly may trip seven times, but they will get back up again." Your enemies will be around you. God doesn't remove them from your life. You're going to trip and stumble in the darkness of the valley of shadow and confusion and chaos because you can't see God. You thought you were on this mission. You thought you were going to this great place. You thought that things were, they were good, and now they're not. And I don't understand why, God. Why? We were good. I can't hear you any longer. Stuff keeps pushing me around, and it's just crazy. What's going on? The godly can trip up seven times, but they will get up again. Now check this out. If you look at this psalm, and if you look at the front end of this psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He lets me rest. He leads me beside these peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along these paths." In the valley, you stop talking about God and you start talking to him. Let me say that again. In the valley, you stop talking about God and you start talking to him. Trials draw us closer to the Lord. See, on Mount Contentment, you were telling everybody how awesome it was and how great God is, and he's providing, and my needs are met, and things are good, and God is just awesome over here. And then you get into the valley, and you start crying out to the Lord. And that's on purpose. In the valley, we stop talking about God and we start talking to him. But it doesn't end there. Thanks be to God, it does not end there. Because just as you're at the point of maybe hopelessness, like it's not going to get any better. I'm never going to see the light again. I'm never going to hear God's voice. I'm so confused. Why? What have I done to bring this on myself, to take this upon? Did I mess up that bad? What's going on, God? I thought I was following. I thought I was being faithful to what you were calling me to. Why are we doing this? And at that very moment, as you're just trying to put one foot in front of the other in the shadow and the darkness of this valley, a little light cracks ahead of you. And you squint, and the light gets a little bit brighter in front of you. And you, instead of shuffling your feet, you start picking up your pace and you're moving towards it. And all of a sudden, you break out of the valley and out of the tree line and out of the shadow and darkness into this meadow and this huge mountain you never noticed before. And as you're looking up, just taking it in, you realize in that meadow just beyond the valley. Verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. All of a sudden, you look down, and there's Jesus at a huge banqueting table in the sunlight. And he's going like this. You see, when you were over on Mount Contentment, you had enough. You had just enough for you. Everything was good. You were happy. You're content. But now, we've pushed through the valley. The Lord has guided us through. And now, there's a banquet. Now there's more than enough. Whoa, is this what abundance looks like? There's more here than I could ever eat and be satisfied with. And on top of that, Jesus is inviting you to come and sit down at this banqueting table in the presence of your enemies who can't touch you any longer. Because all of a sudden, we're in this new light and we're in this new place. Hear this. Jesus knew you were going to make it through the valley even when you did not. Because it says he prepared, as in before you got there, when you were in the valley, the feast was being prepared. He knew you were going to get there even when you were about ready to give up. Even when I was about ready to give up. He knew it. Why? Because he's God. And he's got you. And even when we feel like he doesn't, and it's confusing, he's like, I knew you'd make it. I knew you'd make it over here. Come, sit down, enjoy. And after this feast, he says, let's keep going up the mountain. And so you keep moving on. And you come to a little bit higher plateau, and it's brighter here, and it's greener, and it's nice. The banquet place was fantastic, but oh my gosh, this is even better. And then you see Jesus, and he goes, come over here. And it says, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. Whoa. And Jesus steps up to you. Chris just gave me some anointing oil. I'm kind of excited. We geek out about these things, I guess. Some anointing oil from the old city, myrrh. He anoints our head with oil. Why? Why does he anoint our head with oil? Why in the Bible do people get their head anointed? To bless them, yes. What else? Let's back up. Who gets anointed? There's like three different kinds of people who get anointed. Priests? Kings? Okay, sick people. I like that. That was not one of the ones I was thinking, but that's actually fantastic because it totally ties into what we're doing here. Yeah. You see, check this out. You honor me. Jesus honors you by anointing your head with oil. Anointing is when God reveals your purpose to you. An anointing was when your purpose was made known. David's head was anointed to become the king. Right? Think about all the people in the Old Testament and the New Testament throughout the whole Bible. When they were anointed, there was a purpose behind it. I have a mission for you now, says God. And when things were confusing in the valley, and now we've broken forth, and now we've experienced abundance, and now we're moving forward. And Jesus says, it's not just enough that I'm going to give you more than Mount Contentment in abundance, but I'm going to give you a new purpose, a new calling, because we've gone through that valley together. You have refined yourself, and we keep moving forward. And as we keep moving forward, the next part of this verse, as if these things weren't enough already, my cup overflows, and the text there is continuously, my cup overflows continuously with blessing. That he hands you a cup that never runs dry. See, on Mount Contentment, Jesus was blessing you, and you had all that you needed for you. But now, on this new mountain, Mount Abundance, if you will, you become the blessing because your cup is overflowing. Because the banquet feast is more than you could ever have imagined. Because you've been anointed for purpose, a calling to move forward in some mission that the Lord has for you. And then he says, but we're not done. You've got to keep going up to the top of the mountain. Keep going, keep going. I'll meet you up there. Okay, and you take off. And you're just like, this is amazing. And you're hiking up the hill. And this feels real good. Way different than in the valley when it was hard. Now you're just cruising up this thing. Just winding your way. And you can see. And then all of a sudden you hear something. And you look behind you because you thought it was Jesus. But there's somebody behind you. And you're like, who are you? And the person cries out, my name's Goodness. Keep going. I'll catch up with you. And all of a sudden, Goodness comes alongside you. And you're like, what are you doing? And Goodness says, Jesus told me that I'm going to pursue you all the way up to the top of this mountain. I'm going to trek alongside you. Oh, cool. And so you guys, you're going with Goodness. And you guys are going up the hill and you're having fantastic conversations together. And then you hear something and you look, and there's somebody else back there. And you look at Goodness, and he's got a big smile on his face. And you're like, well, who's that? And Goodness looks back, and he's like, oh, that's my friend. That's unfailing love. That's ridiculous love. He's going to join us too. Now you're cruising up this thing, and you're not alone. And you know that Jesus said, I'm going to meet you up at the top of this mountain. And he said, I'm going to give you goodness, and I'm going to give you ridiculous love as your trail mates to make it all the way up to the top of the hill. And they're going to stay with you. They're not going to leave you. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And you get up to the top of the hill, the mountain, this new mountain. And it's amazing. And the view, and you look down and you see that dark valley and you're like, wow, I remember that. But it's not, but this made it all worth it. And then you look and you're like, I remember Mount Contentment. It seems so small now compared to where Jesus has brought me to. In this calling I've got on my life, I need to understand this more, this new calling, this new mission that he's got for my life. I need to understand this more now. I got to understand this thing. And then David, he says, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now, in a memorial setting, we look at that and we understand that to mean eternity with Christ. That's a big promise for us, and we hang on to that. I don't think that's what David was thinking about in this moment. I don't think he was thinking about dying. I think it was this hope and this reality of this intimate relationship that somehow going back to this Eden motif, this idea of walking in the garden with the Lord, that I'm going to spend the rest of my life shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, and goodness and ridiculous love are going to cruise around with us together. Wow, this place is amazing. It's life-changing. Everything looks different. If we go back to verse 3, he renews my strength. Why? Why did he renew our strength on Mount Contentment? Well, because before we got to Mount Contentment, we went through a valley to get there. And before the valley, there was another mountain. It wasn't quite as high as Mount Contentment. And now we're on Mount Abundance, if you will. And he's renewing our strength again. Why? Because this side of the valley, this Mount Abundance, Mount Generosity, Mount Ridiculous Love and Goodness, because this side of the valley, it's not the end of the journey. You see, you get here, And after a while of being here and soaking in all of this, Mount Abundance starts feeling like Mount Contentment. And that's not a bad thing. It's just a reality. We become comfortable with it. And we enjoy the presence and the goodness of the Lord. And He leads us by these beautiful streams and the meadows and the flowers. And we're just soaking it all in. And things are good again. Real good. And then one day Jesus comes and taps us on the shoulder and says, "Hey, look over there." And you look. "I'd never seen that mountain before. That mountain's a little higher than this mountain." He said, "You want to go on an adventure with me?" Here's an interesting thought. How many of you guys have heard somebody say, the grass is always greener on the other side? You heard that before? Can I be rude for just a second? That's what quitters say. See, we've programmed that to be a cautionary tale. No, just be content with what you've got right now because, you know, the grass is always greener. It always looks greener on the... Guess what? With Jesus, it always is greener on the other side. Period. End of story. That's it. It's always greener on the other side. Why? Because He's always calling you to something else. But guess what? You got to go through the valley to get there. That's the reality of the way that we move with Christ. That's what He did with the Israelites in Egypt. They thought things were, it was okay, but it wasn't that great. And He called them out into the desert, and it was really awful. And they're like, "We'd rather just go back and be content and just serve them and make bricks out of poo and just whatever, eat a little bit of food. We'd rather do that because guess what? God, we don't believe that the grass is greener on the other side." And God's like, "But you don't understand. I got a place flowing with milk and honey. You have no idea how awesome this place is, and you just got to keep following My voice." And that's our challenge, and that's our calling in life, is to listen to the shepherd's voice as He leads us and guides us. And just about the time we get content, we need to be prepared because He's going to unsettle us. And He's going to move us from the contentment bucket, and He's going to move us over here into this challenge bucket, into this refining place that does not feel good, that is not fun. It's a place of shadow. We don't hear God's voice very well. We feel like we're getting kicked around. And sometimes it's because we either allow or just that the enemies are all surrounding us and trying to get after us. And sometimes it's the discipline of the Lord keeping us away from all of the enemies and moving us through the dark place because we have no idea where we're going and we're completely confused. But if we just stay in that place and we keep trusting in the fact that he is caring for us and He is protecting us and He is guiding us in that place, then all of a sudden we break out of that valley, we break out of that darkness, and we move over here into this abundance place and calling and anointing and blessings flow. And it expands not only our relationship with the Lord, it not only challenges us to go deeper and trust Him more, but it unveils to us this anointing and calling, this new level of faithfulness and discipleship that he's bringing us into. So where are you? Because you're in one of three places right now, today. You're either on Mount Contentment. Things are good. They're real good. But just be aware. Jesus is going to tap you on the shoulder. He's going to invite you on a journey. But you're going to go to a valley of shadow and challenge and darkness. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be hard. Maybe you're in that place right now. Maybe you're in that valley right now. Jesus already prepared a banquet for you. Just keep pressing on. He's guiding you right now. He's protecting you right now. Just keep moving forward. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't go back to contentment. Just press on. If you're over here, Mount More Than Enough, Mount Abundance, this place of blessing. Yeah, what's your calling? What's this new anointing that the Lord has for you right now? Live that out. Love it and enjoy it. Just soak it all in, because guess what? This is not only a time of growing, but it's a time to renew your strength, Because eventually, he's going to tap you on that shoulder. He's going to call you to the next level. Psalm 23 is a picture of Lent. It's a calling through death and darkness and shadow into life. We talk about this verse where Jesus set his face. He set his face towards Jerusalem. And you and I are called to set our face with him in that adventure. And it wasn't an easy road. But he knew what was on the other side of that valley of the shadow of death, that valley of darkness. He knew. And he wants you to come along with him. Let's pray together. Father, wherever we are right now, if we're in a place of abundance, if we're in a place of hurt and darkness and confusion, or if we're in a place of anointing and abundance, Lord, help us to live here and now in the moment with you in relationship, but also help us to remember we are being prepared for the next. And keep our eye out for that calling to the next place that you have for us in our lives, in our walk with you, in our faith, our hope, our courage. Lord, you told us, you promised us that we're blessed if we're pure in heart because we will get to see you. Lord, help us to purify our hearts on a daily basis because we want to see you. We want to see you today. And we want to see you tomorrow. And we want to follow after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.